Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pomp and Joe Show rolls on, and this is the Chris Hokey Bro Hour for you. And Chris Hoke, former Steeler championship defensive lineman, is brought to you by Globe Airport Parking, which makes me laugh every time I see it just because of what happened to you a few
Paul,
weeks
I'll tell
ago.
You what, that was one of the wildest.
You have Globe Parking ready to take care of everything. You don't have to worry about what happened to
well,
you.
Well, I'm going to Globe. Next time I fly next week, I'm going to go set it up with Globe and park my car there and get the VIP treatment that they give to everybody.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we should tell you real quick, right? Chris was doing a show. We do a post-game show on KDK TV, and he had to make a flight. So he goes as fast as he can as soon as we're done to the airport, parks his car in extended parking.
Yes.
Okay. You like to get steps so you walk
I walk
way.
As far as I can, as close as I can get to that gas station back there, right, so I can walk all the way in.
Right. So he goes out west. He's sleeping in the night. You pick up the story from there.
Well, I get a call from the police department, state troopers, both. And my car had been stolen from the airport. And now, just the other day, I got the email. It's actually totaled. They totaled the car. I got in a high-speed chase with the state troopers and crashed the car. And there were three cars that were stolen that night from the airport. So just make sure
out of like 17,000 that are there.
Yeah, and how was my car? I mean, what are the odds, right? You never think it's going to be you. But it is what it is, and man, I'll tell you what, the state troopers did a great job. And one state trooper, man, I don't want to say his name, but I'm being told that he got this. There were two guys that were in my car. He ran them down. They had the high speed chase. He got out, held one at gunpoint, tased the other, and detained both of them. Just one guy.
Wow.
That's called skills, man.
That's skills, and I mean these people who do this. I'm sorry. They need to be
no.
Consequences should be severe on that
no
kind of
question.
Stuff.
I sure hope
you're
so.
Dangerous. You're in the high speed chase. You could have killed a lot of people. Who knows
a lot of
when
people.
That happened? Anyway, that's why Chris is brought to you by Globe Airport Parking. So let's talk a little bit about what you did not see in person, but I'm sure you watched single part of that game. 9:30. By the way, that was one of the most heavily watched NFL Network games in the morning. From Europe ever. Its second biggest audience is 7.9
wow.
million, which I wasn't surprised because I saw in person
yeah.
how many Steeler fans were there. But that was maybe, to start, maybe their best complete first half that I've seen, and then things changed in the second half. What were your overall takeaways from that?
Well, first of all, I think the NFL would be smart to send, even though I don't think Steeler Nation would like that, maybe they would, or the Steelers, to send the Steelers overseas more often because of the following. Right? It's send teams over there that are going to bring fans and the nation with them. And Steelers do that. Steeler Nation is incredible. They always travel the team wherever we go. And you know, we see in Dublin, they go to Dublin. And so the NFL would be smart to do that if they want to expand the game. But what I saw, I saw a team that took a step forward. I saw a team that's starting to get, starting to play sound football, Steeler football, take another step. Now they got a bye week to get some guys back to look at the film for the first month of the season and see what they're doing well, see where they need to improve and make the adjustments or continue to work to hammer on the thing that did well. I think it was a big step forward, Pomp, this week against the Vikings.
Especially with the offensive line. And I thought the game plan was a good one. They wanted to make it clear they were going to run the football even without Jaylen Warren. Keeping Darnell Washington in the game and tackle eligible Spencer Anderson.
Absolutely.
He was eligible more than anyone I've seen in recent years, short of
19
Zach
plays.
Banner. Yeah, that's a lot. And every
that's
time on the PA system, number 74 for
Pittsburgh
they
every
is
time?
Eligible every single time. So, but that worked, you know. And as a result, though, of that working, guys like Darnell Washington got far more snaps than any other tight end. Connor Hayward had more snaps than Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth. That can't be the way they play every single week. I think this was what they determined.
They're paying those guys too much money. I mean, they're paying Freiermuth, I think, $10 million a year. So they got to get him in the game. And him to play, what, 15, 16% of the snaps is not – and Freiermuth's not going to be happy. So they've got to find a way to get him involved in the offense. And I think they'll do that with Austin going to be out for a few weeks. I think they'll try to find a way to, you know, to get Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith the ball more. But I look at this thing, and the reality is, Pom, Coach Tomlin always talks about, you know, pregame, not the day of the game pregame, but leading up to a game, the week of, in preparation and team meetings. He talks about when we're running the football, a very, very important, maybe not the most important matchup, is tight ends on defensive ends. And in this game, he brought in a heavy tight end, Spencer Anderson. He brought in the big Darnell Washington, which I think what they have him down at 265. He's got to be all three Hunsky, right? And so you have two guys on the edge, and when you have an edge that is soft, that you're able to get ground and not have a defensive end in your backfield, where your running back can hit the edge downhill at full speed, you're going to get positive yardage. And they were able to do that more times than not. I think in this game, Pomp, seven of their best nine runs were out of this jumbo package.
Yeah.
Right? Seven of their best 12 plays from scrimmage were out of this jumbo package were runs. And so I think that you look at this and think they need to go back to it. I don't think it'll be a staple for this offense, but it's something that they know they can do. And, you know, the Vikings have a good defense, but the reality was they were soft against the run. And they saw something on the edge that made them go to this jumbo package. I mean, the Vikings coming in this game are giving up 4.5 yards a carry. They were 23, 24, 25 right. In terms of rush defense. So they saw a weakness, and that's why you game plan, and that's why you practice, and then you go out there and you execute.
And that was a perfect game plan for what they were doing. And it worked with Kenneth Gainwell. I want to ask you specifically about him because he seemed to, the more he carried, the better he got. 99 yards, well over 100 in terms of all-purpose kind of yards. He's a guy who I don't think many people thought at the time when he signed was going to be some sort of significant contributor, more of a third down back here.
More of a gadget guy.
Yeah, he only signed for $1.2 million or something, very low. But, man, what a bargain that's been. And he really took advantage of the opportunity, knew where to go with each running play, and he has more touchdowns right now than Saquon Barkley, than Christian McCaffrey, and all the big dogs.
Big company, yeah. Man, listen, I think his vision was really, really good. He made some great cutbacks. He made guys miss. He was really elusive with some of his jump cuts and acceleration. I thought that he played probably, I would guess, his best game of his career. Not only running the ball, but out of the backfield. Again, I thought the offensive line did better. They've got to improve. You said earlier, the offensive line, they've still got to improve, right? They're still missing blocks. They got to stay on blocks. And we can talk more about that. But the reality is that this Kenneth Gainwell really earned some respect among Steeler Nation, but in that locker room and in the coaching room, they know that they can rely on him if they need to. And so I think a positive step forward for him in this rushing offense.
I thought his best game actually was last year against the Steelers, which is why they were interested in him in the first place. But as a Steeler, this is his best game. By far. All right. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, too, because I can't go without talking about Aaron Rodgers. Even though the numbers were kind of modest, 18 for 22, a couple of hundred yards, but it's the way he's engineering things. And he seems to, you know, in this year, 21 of his career, 41 of his age, he's more interested in just doing what's necessary to win, it seems like to me. The focus is off him. But what I thought about his game in Dublin was his accuracy was very, very important. The play to Metcalf, if that ball does not end up exactly where it was, he has to kind of recalibrate, stop, start. He's never going to go 80 yards for a touchdown. No. So the pass that had been pinpoint got him full stride, and he took it the distance. That's what Aaron Rodgers can do if you give him the time.
There's no question. Listen, Aaron Rodgers, he has the ability. Even though the offensive line is still struggling to protect him, they're not getting a lot of sacks right now, the opponents, because he's getting rid of the ball at the quickest of any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, in this game, he got rid of the ball, I think, 2.1 seconds, 2.16 seconds per throw. That's incredible. He's getting the ball out. And what he brings to the team at this age, at this stage of his career, is more above the neck than below the neck.
Right.
But his accuracy is still off the charts. I mean, look at some of these throws that he's made over the last couple of weeks. It's incredible. I mean, those throws that he threw to Metcalf, I mean, incredible. This on the money, hit him in stride. But what he's doing, you know, there was talk about the touchdown, the final touchdown thrown last week against the Patriots, the one that was the back shoulder fade to Calvin Austin. And Calvin Austin said that he was supposed to run a quick slant, but then Aaron Rodgers, you know, said, hey, let's call it off and let's go to a back shoulder fade. And there you go. He throws it. Those are things that a younger quarterback won't see. His experience in playing 21 years in the NFL, he's able to see things and he's able to, you know, I remember one time listening to Peyton Manning, and he was talking about how, you know, oh yeah, I called this play because I saw this happen 2 years ago in this game and this game. And it's like they have so much experience. They have such a database in their mind, if you will, that they can call on and think, okay, I remember seeing this in this game and this, and then they just adjust and it's natural. It's second nature to them.
Right.
It's like you getting on TV, Pomp, when you're on TV and you just start going, right? Second nature.
That's what experience will do for you, though.
There's no question about it. See, I think for him, what he's bringing to this team right now is he's elevating the other guys around him. He's a coach on the field.
Right.
And he's able to put the ball in places. I always thought that these him and Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, they made the receivers better than they actually were.
Totally.
Because they put the ball where only they can catch it. They put the ball where it's the perfect position, perfect placement, so you can't help but catch it. I mean, my ninth grade daughter could catch balls like that because they're put in the right spot. I'm exaggerating. You know what I'm saying, right? I'm trying to make a point. So I think he elevates everybody's play. I think he makes players better than they really are. And I think that he's putting them in positions to succeed that other quarterbacks can't.
And he's very good at communicating.
Yes.
And the strange thing about it all, though, guys, is that PFF grades him with a 50.4 overall grade. Worse than Joe Flacco, Tua, Jake Browning. So quarterbacks that are backups and guys that have been benched.
I still don't. You know, they have turnover-worthy plays. Every quarterback in the NFL has those plays. It's just the way it is. There are going to be sometimes you throw the ball, you get lucky. So I don't understand, though, in this game, is this a whole four-week thing or is that?
Yeah, all four weeks total. That's his grade.
They're 3-1, that's all I know, and everybody else in the division is falling apart, right?
And they only give Rodgers 3 big-time throws, they call it.
Did they call the one to Freiermuth, which was dropped, a big-time throw? Because that's what it was.
I don't believe so. That is what it was.
That was a nice throw.
That was maybe his best throw of the year so far.
Yeah.
And it was
but the reality is, I mean, and everybody knows this. It's not a secret. I mean, yeah, the offensive line played better, but they're still not giving him enough time. He's still getting hit. He's still having to get rid of the ball, because if he doesn't get rid of the ball, he's going to get taken down. And so
and
he
other
has
teams
to get
now know this, and they're going to do what they can to try.
Well, what's going to happen is if that offensive line at some point can give them a little bit more time to throw the ball down the field, teams are going to come. They're going to jump routes, and that's when you can start opening up with double moves, right? Pomp, double moves, get guys deep. So hopefully, I mean, the offensive line just got to continue to work. They're getting better. They're not where they need to be by any.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Standard.
All right, defensively, you know, at the first couple of games, I know you were in studio talking about linebackers getting pushed around, which they were. Now, things have changed, or at least calmed down for that point, plus the turnovers have started. And I'll say this, you can talk about all the statistics you want, but if you take the ball away and you limit the amount that you give the ball away and you don't make penalties, you're going to win football games. It's as simple as that. The Steelers are the best team in the NFL. They have committed the least amount of penalties, which surprises me when I saw that. But also the takeaway, giveaway component. You can't live and die by that. That cannot be your source of offense. But when you do it, normally you're going to win football games.
You are. And listen, the reality is week one and week two, the Steelers only had 3 sacks, I think. Week 3, 4, 11. Think about that. 3 of 11. And then week 1 and 2, 3 takeaways. And week 3 and 4, 7.
Yeah.
When you're sacking the quarterback 11 times in 2 games and 7 takeaways in 2 games, you're winning ball games and their defense is going to play tough. And that's not including the pressures, the quarterback hits, the batted balls by Cam Hayward, right? And Derek Harmon, he got his big paw on that ball that was intercepted by Deshaun Elliott. So I think a couple of things for me defensively. The defensive line is playing better. I thought Keanu Benton had his best game of the year last week. And I went back and broke the film. I watched it again this morning. Watched it several times, but this morning I watched, really critical of the line of scrimmage, and better technique, right? Staying down, playing with extension, playing with good leverage, playing it the way that he needs to play to be able to stop the run. I thought he was better there. And then when it was situational football, down and distance, it dictated it. Then he was able to use his quicks and his speed. I think he's a natural three technique playing at nose tackle, but he's able to, you know, he's really light on his feet and he does a good job. And then Derek Harmon, I think the addition of Derek Harmon, I don't know if there's any secret with him playing the last 2 weeks, Pomp, that the Steelers have gotten better.
No question.
He's big, physical, he's tough.
He was listed as a starter as soon as he was drafted.
Yeah, and he pushes the pocket. Unfortunately, he got that call roughing the passer in the end zone, but he makes a difference. He's a difference maker. And as he gets more comfortable, I love how he says he patterns his game off Cam Hayward, because Cam Hayward is the ultimate Steeler. The way he plays technique, the way he flies to the football, his effort is second to none. And so I think Derek Harmon, I the thing about these Steeler linebackers, if you don't get a hat on them, they're going to make a play. Where they think they need to improve is engage and shedding blocks and getting off and making plays. Mm-hmm. That's where they struggle. And so they've got to continue to work there. And they're not the biggest. I mean, I know Wilson's big, but Patrick Queen's not a big guy. And so he does best when the linemen take up blockers and he's able to fly to the football. But if you run between the tackles right at him, they struggle. And so I think teams are going to see him doing more of that. But with Derek Harmon in the middle now, big boy, not giving up ground, it's going to be a little more difficult to run between the tackles.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Two decisions I want to ask you about before we take a break here. And Austin and I talked about this yesterday. In the game, fourth and three, or was it fourth and goal? Whatever it was.
Yeah, fourth and goal.
So they're up fourth at this goal. Point 10. You can make it 13 with a field goal. To me, which was something I would have done. Just because you make it tough on
Minnesota. I think Tom got caught up in the emotion of the game.
I think you got talked out of it by Aaron Rodgers.
I think the emotion of the game.
But your sense would be what? To me,
kick the field goal.
10 points is still a possession.
Two
touchdowns make it very difficult on Minnesota to get it twice and to drive the length of the field.
I agree.
Twice.
They came in with no points.
Right.
Right. And so you look
at right after that turned out to be the Jordan Addison play.
Yes, exactly. And that was blown coverage and what a great play by Peyton Wilson. But the reality is, I kick it right there. Just because it gives you two scores, two touchdowns, a lead. I just thought Mike, he's enjoying this. You see that one time when Aaron Rodgers fumbled the football and Broderick Jones got it, and Rodgers kind of started pointing on the ground and all that. Mike was laughing. He's having fun with this, right? He's enjoying this right now. They're 3-1. They're having a good time, and I think he has a lot of trust in Aaron Rodgers. And I believe Aaron Rodgers talking into it is an emotional decision. Was it the right decision? Now that they've won, yeah, fine, it is. But if they would have lost that game, that's one that everybody's pointing to. So in my mind, you take the points, but I think he was trusting in his players and showing Rodgers he believes in him. I wish they would have called a different play or put, it's tough when you have Gainwell. I mean, he was getting yards, he was getting positive yards, but down there when you have goal line defense in, everybody's stacking the line of scrimmage, it's hard for Gainwell to run through the line of scrimmage.
Then soon thereafter, they were faced with a 4th-and-1. Right around midfield, I forget the yard line it was on. If you convert, the game's over. Minnesota has no chance. They decided to punt that. Now, that's one I would have rolled the dice on more.
Well, they punted it out of the end zone. Well, he booted it.
That was by design, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I would have done that. I would have tried to.
You've gone for it on 4th.
I would have done one of those.
My offense is good enough to get 1 yard. We average 5 yards.
I don't know if I would have gone for it.
You would have punted.
Because they were having success. Listen, they outscored the Steelers in the fourth quarter 15-3.
All the more reason to go for it.
No, but listen. You don't get it. You get the 44-yard line, Pomp.
Okay.
Two first downs.
Hold on.
They were moving the ball at a high clip in that fourth quarter. We couldn't stop them in the fourth quarter, our defense.
Right.
And so you try to make them go the whole field.
All the more reason to go for it.
But
if they're being gouged, you don't want to have the ball at all.
You don't get it. You give them the ball at midfield.
So what?
If you
trust your defense to stop them at the 20, you should.
No, not really, because there's no way somebody's going to move the ball on me 50 yards.
With one play.
But your mentality, your thinking is, but I give him a first down. This guy made a 62-yard field goal last week?
Yeah, he's capable.
Yeah, he gets first down.
It puts you in that same position.
But Pomp,
from your own 20-yard line.
You're going to argue with me that getting the ball at the 20 is different than getting the ball at the 44?
You said the defense was getting gouged.
They were.
Okay, but then why would you trust
But there's also mentality in Pittsburgh, too, like, if you try to move the ball down the field on me 80 yards, our guys are going to make a play.
There's also a mentality.
And they did.
You send your offense, you're telling people, you ain't getting the ball back. Sorry, Jack. We're done. We're going
to
end the game right here.
To me, you can argue both ways. In my mind, I see why. Because you one first down, he's kicking a field goal. That's just a fact.
One big place. And they were moving.
They did. They had that 79-yarder with Jordan Addison. They had earlier in the game, they had that 30-yard pass to Jefferson, who would have been
if he
would have fallen.
Yeah, if he had fallen,
that
would have
been the reality was, like, you think, okay, one first down pump, and you're kicking field goal to overtime.
I get it. But one yard, the game is over. They never touched the ball.
I know.
I'm just saying, from a mindset point of view, what does that do?
My beef is, my argument is, don't kick it out of bounds. Do you remember when they would throw Ben out there and Ben would kick the ball and just kind of little pooch punt? Yeah, do something like
put
the ball down the corner, put it down inside the 10, but don't kick it out of the end zone and it's only, what, a 19-yard change or 20-something yard change?
All the more reason to go for it on fourth and one.
I think to me you can argue both ways. We're arguing differently.
What do you say, Lennon?
I see it as make him go the whole field.
We agree on the first one. Should have kicked a field goal. This one we disagree. What do you think?
I do agree with kicking the field goal. I'm with you, though, Bob. I was okay with them running the ball just because of how they were pushing Minnesota around at times for most of the game, offensively.
But here's my argument. If he goes for it and doesn't get it, it's a horrible call. It's a horrible call. Right now, he didn't go for it. I just think that's anything, right? It's like when people call a jet sweep, when people call these trick plays, a reverse, whatever, if they work, they're beautiful plays. If they don't work, they're bad plays.
I understand
right?
that.
In
That's
this situation,
true of every
right?
coach,
if he goes for it.
It
and he doesn't get it,
how about if he goes for it?
What was he doing going
it?
For the ball? They went and kicked it. You know, so I think it's the argument. It's kind of a bad argument because if it's successful, it's good. If it's not, it's not good.
But
in this situation,
say that about every play.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But what I'm saying is, especially situational football right here, I think that just that play by itself, singularly, you can't say it's good or bad. I think what happens afterwards is what dictates if that was a good call or not.
What happens afterwards, if you get the yard, is there is no afterwards. Minnesota's done. They put out the unconditional flag. We're done. We're going home. Schlanka. We're out of Ireland.
No, I got it. But you know what? They got
the white flag.
They got the outcome they wanted. And listen,
I know. People sitting in their living rooms that morning are probably having the same conversation we are.
Yeah, listen, and you can argue both ways. I'm looking at this thing thinking, man, the reality is you give them that ball at the 44-yard line, the plus 44-yard line, one first down.
But again, you can get 40 yards on one play.
Yeah, but I think getting one first down is a higher chance of getting one first down than it is if
you throw the ball down the field. There's PI, spot of the ball.
Sure, I get that. But for me, the first down and kicking a field goal is a higher percentage than something like that happening.
The field goal, I agree. Two touchdowns makes it difficult. You'd have to get the ball back.
No, I agree with that.
And not score a field goal. You have to go down twice and score. And I don't think they would have done that. All right, we're getting started here.
I feel like we're on TV arguing like we were on TV, Bob.
It makes it fun. There's always decisions, which Joe likes that
decisions,
segment.
Decisions, Bob. We're taking a page out of the Lions playbook. Be aggressive. Go for it.
But the metrics will tell you in those situations, you have a far better chance of succeeding.
I think the Lions offensive line is much different than the Steelers offensive line. Would you agree?
Not on that day. That day, they were good.
They were good.
And they moved the ball around.
They moved the ball. But the Lions offensive line steals your grass. Man, they maul you.
But they also are committed to it, and I think that's part of the mindset I was talking about.
If you're
a team that thinks you can do it, and they know it's coming, and you still do it, Tush Bush is a good example. It's unstoppable.
Did you go back and watch the third and one before it came to fourth and one?
I understand
Three
that.
Guys got beat.
Okay.
Three guys got beat.
Are you going to live in your fears?
Broderick
Don't
Jones
do that
got beat. His guy made the tackle. Spencer Anderson's guy beat him.
I understand.
He was in on the tackle. The guy came unblocked off the left side.
How about if you
three guys hit Gainwell for a 2-yard loss. I mean, he rolled into the line of scrimmage. But the reality was, the play before, two dudes got beat, and one guy came unblocked.
And you know what the play call should have been on fourth and one then?
Same play.
Heavy package, no. Fake. Little dump pass to somebody who
Coach
releases.
T, we got a coach here.
I'm just saying there are
Pomp's
ways to get around it.
Call him.
No,
Coach Pomp.
I'll give you his number.
Me, I don't want that stress. I have enough stress. I don't need that level.
No, the thing about the play before though, you got Broderick Jones and Spencer Anderson both got beat.
I know that.
The guys came in the line.
But you can't.
And a guy came off the edge unblocked.
Well, let's replace him. Get him off the field.
No, I'm just saying.
They had success all day long.
Also,
for the
it's
most
also
part.
A gut call. You know, it's feel, and he does a lot of off his feel, and he just didn't feel it was right.
Yeah, I get it. You got to make decisions all day long in sports, and that's
but everybody,
what they get paid
but people,
to do it.
People really think that Coach Tomlin doesn't make good plays, good calls at the end of a game.
I think all coaches go. I watch enough football, and so do you,
yeah.
Where we see guys doing the same kind of stuff. It's part of what you think, but I think it's a feel at that point. My feeling at that point was just to end this game. They have, as you said, they have dominated the second half. I just want to end it. I have a chance to do it right now, and I'm going to do it. And if I don't, then I'll trust that defense that you so trust.
Yeah, and the reality is there's probably guys like you and I sitting in every single and 31 other NFL towns complaining about their coaches. Oh, actually, I'll take it back. 16 because all the losing teams.
Right. It's just part of what makes it fun to do, and that's why we talk about it. And that's why we continue, and that's why we bring in Chris Hokey Bros. 76. We were talking about some sort of introduction for you, and I can't think of, is there a song that you like? We got to play off the Hokey Bro thing or something of this nature.
I know.
What, country roads, Hokey Bro, bring me home.
Where I belong.
Not fourth and one from the 44.
Oh, listen.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got more with Chris Hoke coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.